Blog Talk.
Welcome in light. Welcome all to Awakening. It's wonderful to connect with all of you. It's wonderful to be here and to connect with each and every one of you that's coming in on the phone lines and the chat room and all of you that are listening internationally. I welcome you all with great love and great respect. I'm Michelle Mache, your host and co-pilot at this time. And just want to really say hi. I really want to connect with all of you and know that even though we're not perhaps physically seeing each other, we all really are connected. There is that vibratory connection and a synchronistic connection that we're similar parts of our path. That's why we're connecting to share. Already have some great questions in the chat room, so we'll be diving in today. Those of you that may be new to the chat room, if you would like to interact in the chat room and share your wisdom, your insight, or ask questions, or give comments or feedback, I love comments, I love feedback, then please type in caps so I can easily see what you have to express. And then also if you'd like to call in with comments or questions, concerns, 347-539-5122 is the call-in number. Now this number is also for calling in to just listen in as well, which many of you already know that. And again, the call-in number for Awakenings Radio is 347-539-5122. And wonderful to connect. Yeah, got a lot of stuff I want to kind of chat about a little bit that actually really dovetails into 2012. And I definitely want to get to the questions. We'll dive in with that right now, and I'll weave in some other stuff that I had on my mind. Debbie is asking, any chance we could have a show talking about what's happening to us as we sleep? I recently had a large amount of pain disappear after just 2 hours of sleep. Also had spiritual visitors a few times. Some people travel. Well, we all travel. The thing is, you need to realize that the denser physical body, everything is physicality, everything is energy, light. Energy and light is love. The more energy, the more light you have, the more love, the capacity for love. But on this dimension, the physical body requires a regenerating or recharging, which we call sleep. And some people require less of it. Some people require more of it. Meditation, healing work, even a lot of times getting massage, anything where your active mind or surface mind, psychologically they call it the conscious mind or rational mind, where that part of your sensory perception, part of your awareness seems to relax or go to sleep or it takes the side burner or back burner. It becomes less prominent or less active. It, in a sense, shuts down. So that, but your subconscious mind, the unconscious, the all that is part of you, is always awake, always aware, is always expressing, experiencing its own awareness. And so this gets into some things because we have multidimensional realities. So you have multidimensional aspects of self that are having experiences or experiencing and expressing in different ways and different forms simultaneously on other dimensions. So it's just different ways of looking at the mind or processing with the mind and the brain. The brain does go into a different pattern or sequence of patterns when you sleep. But it's only the physical body, the surface mind, if you will, the ego personality of this level, this dimension, that goes to sleep. So it doesn't surprise me. Yes, you can have healings you know, spontaneously, you know, that things that you've been doing on and on, you know, we've been listening to this program or other programs or maybe reading something, and then all of a sudden the right synergy of experiences and connections and your understandings happen all at the same time, and then during the sleep state, boom, there's a spontaneous healing or rebalancing. Or your healing guides, if you will, and those of you that work with other dimensional awarenesses or aspects, you can also get in touch at that time. I do a lot of astral travel, and a lot of people are aware of that, and I've had similar or same dreams with people, or where I'm coming in giving messages, or somebody says, oh my God, you were visiting me last night, or on the astral plane. So as you're living more in that meditative state, which is the I am state, I am that I am, the awareness that I am only I am pure consciousness, and that consciousness is takes shape and form in this physical body temple, and even this part of my little mind, my local mind, is a part of form. As you live more in that awareness, you have more of these types of experiences. But they're happening anyway. It's just for many people, the rational mind, surface mind, the analytical mind, you know, doesn't remember or doesn't know that it's having this experience. It doesn't mean that this experience isn't going on. I mean, someone may be, you know, obviously someplace in China, someone is eating some type of Chinese food. Just like I'm not there and I'm not seeing it doesn't mean that it's not existing, not happening. Somewhere, somebody is sneezing. I don't hear it, but doesn't mean that it's not happening. Somewhere, someone is laughing. Just because I don't hear it doesn't mean that it's, you know, not happening. On some level, you're hearing everything. You're seeing everything without beyond the eyes, the physical eyes. But what you're able to bring into analytical awareness, surface mind awareness, what you're able to stamp as the template of your personality, ego, self, depends on retraining, depends on living in that meditative state, not even so much how much you're studying. I mean, that helps too. It helps to know things psychologically. It helps to learn how to deal with people mentally, emotionally, physically. It helps to learn how to deal with yourself mentally, emotionally, physically. These are parts of you. It helps to know. But the place of pure knowingness is in that state of oneness, is in that meditative state where you are just a clear channel. You are a mirror. And sometimes a window into the soul, a mirror reflecting that which is on the inside and that which is on the outside. So wonderful times right now, and we have, you know, this energy of 11/11 coming up, 11/11/2009, 11/11/11. Which also breaks down to two, and I really want to touch on this right now. That the more light you have, the more that you begin to really see the shadow. In some ways, there is not ever complete darkness or ever complete light. It's just shades and hues of the same thing. So that darkness, that void, is that potential, is that awareness of that which is not yet in form, or perhaps what we don't necessarily see or understand with our rational mind, if you will. We're in a phase of quickening again, which started last May, June, with this lunar, solar, trinity, that trilogy of energy, body, mind, spirit, integrating to the soul, was also in the middle of a gateway, portal of light. We have some amazing aspects that have been working on us, you know, that is us. This planetary expression is our planetary existence. It is us. It's us in a planetary form. But what is beginning to happen? And it happens in cycles. I can remember in the mid-90s we went through a cycle of this, and then 98, 99, and then again 2003, 2005. I don't know that I remember it being ever this perhaps prominent or intense of an intensification of energy, an amplification. We're in for some an activation time, for others an accelerating time. Some getting activated into another level of awareness and accelerated in that. What this is doing and will continue to do is bring up the shadow in people, the shadow side. And shadow, a lot of people think it's just bad. It's what we're not aware of. So it could be something that is not as evolved. It could be, good example is the angry person or that's always angry but is always attracting angry people but doesn't realize they're the one that's angry. But it can be a person always attracting poets and not realizing that they're their own poet inside, that they have poems that they want to share. People very often that surround themselves with creative people until they have harnessed this energy, this shadow energy, may not realize that the reason they're surrounding themselves with artists and drawn to artists or people that are expressing artistically is because they have an artist within that needs to be connected in and expressed. Never before have we been in the time frame, the era of 2000. If we break this down numerically, and it really shifted into high gear in 2009, which is this year we're moving out of, because there was a huge tipping point, a crossroads that was met at the gateway of 2008, the November-December gateway. There's a real focus right now, and for all 2009, 10, 2020, 2030, on and on and on relationship. Relationship to yourself, and I know I've said this before, sometimes I have to repeat myself. Even my classes, my meditation classes, I say that, people to be accountable or to connect in. People don't hear. It takes a lot sometimes to hear something, so we need to sometimes say it over and over. This means if we're really playing out, and you can see this in the media and the politics, religions definitely. In essence, there's a playing out or an intensification or a predomination of polarity right now, of an awareness of a polarity, or playing out the polarity through duality. This person's good, this person's bad, this religion's good, this is bad, this is capitalism, this is communism, this is A, this is B, this is hot, this is cold. You can see it everywhere. We are going into the apex right now in this shift, the apex to the nth degree of duality that we can take. It's like the Ouroboros. It's the snake eating its tail. We are going all the snake. The tail and the mouth are coming together. The tail seems to be separate from the mouth, but they're coming together. And what does it form? It forms that healing circle or that spiral of light that we are. That's the Ouroboros. That's the transformation to get to that next level. So you're going to see, and many of you I've been hearing and talking to and getting emails about, the shadow. What's up with the shadow? There's so much shadow material. Or people are playing it out. They're being the victim and you have to be the savior. How do we get out of the shadow? Is we recognize both within us and we rest in the center. We don't get into the game. If the shadow is something you need to integrate from that meditative state or that state of awareness, you can begin to see, oh, I need to connect in with this. I am my own teacher. I am my own guru. I have my own creative expression. I can draw that energy, that creative expression to me. I am that. I can create a painting. Had it at a conference that I went to. Somebody attracted a very, very spiritually open, metaphysical, wizard type guy. And I told my friend, I said, that's because you need to develop that in you. This is an outpicturing of an aspect of you that is calling to be integrated, that you're drawn to, but you're not seeing that it's within you. So then you begin to attract it on the outside in intense ways so that you see to integrate it. So because we're working with or playing with the seeming duality, the seeming, this is the last hoo-ha from the third to fourth to fifth dimension. As we're getting into that fifth dimension, fourth is resonance, when we begin to recognize we're just various vibrational frequencies or harmonics or layers of the same thing, we move out of living a dual existence. So because of that, you are going to see a lot of shadow material and experience it perhaps within yourself, or witness it. You can simply witness it and bring it back to you. I am that that I am. The powerful Sanskrit mantra. So ham, ham, so. I am that that I am. And so when you rest in the center of that, you're not black, you're not white, you're not green, you're not blue, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're the energy that created that, your consciousness made manifest, and your consciousness before made manifest. When you rest in that center, you don't enact a lot of drama or polarity playing out. Because when polarity is playing out, it's requiring you to show up in a role or a certain way. It's requiring you to do something instead of respond. It's requiring you to be the savior or be the victim or be the abuser or be the teacher or be the student when you are both one and the same. So I would invite you, the more you can just show up in your life right now as just as you, whatever it's spiritual energy, spiritual being in this experience, how as roleless as you can be, to just show up, you know, and as Light puts in the chat, spiritual playmates, just show up in the play of consciousness, you will be able to respond in a place that's resting in the center, as we say in the Buddhist tradition, the middle way. You will be, your answer, your response will be centered. It will not enact or engage in the play of duality. You won't be engaging the play. You will be both. So you will be in that center. And this is going to be it, because when we talk about duality, we talk about shadow and light. And that's what's playing out right now. And the truth is they're both one and the same. You know, without the darkness, there is no light. And from the darkness comes the light. It's the void. We were birthed out of the void. We were birthed out of nothingness. And the first manifestation was the vibrational sound. And from that vibration came the thought form, and then came the physical form. So just be aware that it's about right now and going on is how can we have more self-accountability, more self-love, self-light, self-understanding? How can we move into right relationship with ourselves? All aspects of us, all ways that we express. The little baby way, the bratty way, the teacher way, the student way, the higher self. All these are just modes of expression. How can we have such a wonderful relationship with ourselves that we're in this our own divine play of consciousness and awareness? And then how can we have this right relationship with others that seem to be outside of us? How can we be in that divine play of consciousness? And how can we have right livelihood, be in a right environment, or create a right environment with us in the body, mind, and temple, whether externally the right environment or internally the right environment, they're one and the same. So yes, so a lot of shadow material coming up so that it can be integrated, the seeming polarity of opposite or oppositional forces playing out to the extreme, to then come together in a way that you see that you are both one and the other, that they are one and the same. So it is amazing, amazing, amazing time right now, just rife with possibilities, many openings, challenges, more expression, an intense amount of creative energy, of spiritual energy, energy to co-create with, to transform. It's all the same. How you use it is, you know, is up to you. But there is a lot of it. There's a lot of love, light, energy on the planet. And that, in essence, is what this shift is about. So I am so inspired. I had a wonderfully, thank you, Lenny, in the chat. I had a wonderful, inspiring conversation that's kicked us off to bring that reminder back to us of what are we playing out. Are we receiving and responding, or are we playing something out? Are we stuck in a role? And you know, and the shift is about shifting us out of that, amongst other things. We are absolutely blessed, and I'm so tickled because I got our next guest's newsletter, and I thought, oh, got to have him back. Where is Jack? We have on today Jack Alice, the author of Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and The Great Shift of the Ages. But he's more than that. He is a wise one, authentic being. He also does personal growth work. He's a spiritual teacher working with people in person and by telephone. And in Jack's teaching work, Jack shows people how to connect with the divine spirit of a living universe, with the power of their vibration, and how to manifest their dreams by living life with feelings of peacefulness, joy, love, and acceptance. Such an appropriate guest for our learning and experience today. Hello, Jack. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. I'm listening to your stuff here. Sounds good.
I'm ready for you. So much happened.
I'm getting all tingly, and I'm getting all, you know, I'm getting all floaty and everything here.
Me too. There's so much up right now. There is so much up. And I looked today, and when I saw, oh, great, it's you. I love it. Because I know you're living in this space as well. So it's wonderful that you could take the time to come back and share with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you.
So, Jack, let's dive in. What's happening?
Okay. Well, let me start with the most, probably the most important thing for me, and this is kind of more of a personal thing. Normally, and I was just writing my next newsletter, and I was saying how normally I'm not about me. I'm never about me. I'm always about the message that I basically serve. I'm basically a humble servant of a message, and so very rarely are things ever about me. But lately, I've been having some personal experiences, and I think it's probably the same with you, Michelle. For several years now, my work has just completely overlapped my personal life. I mean, they're one and the same now in terms of connecting with the divine spirit is both what I teach and it's what I live. So they basically are one and the same. But every once in a while, something personal comes along that's kind of a next level thing for me, and that has definitely happened. And it happened about 2 months ago. I discovered a group by the name of I wish I knew the Mayan name well enough. I don't speak Mayan, but I'll give it a shot. I'll give the Mayan name a shot, and then I'll tell you what it means translated. It's a Tinamet Hunan Yuleu, which translates from the Mayan into Earth Peoples United. And it's a group led by a Mayan elder by the name of Eric Gonzalez. And Earth Peoples United, it's basically it's they have it's a church basically. And a nonprofit-type church arrangement is how the whole thing is set up. And they have two what they call land stewardship programs. One is at Deer Mountain in the northern mountains of California. It's just about an hour north of Mount Shasta. And the other land stewardship program is in Guatemala on the shores of Lake Atitlan at a little place called Patsiyapa at the base of the San Pedro volcano, which is very sacred Mayan land. And they also have a land stewardship program there. And what the land stewardship program basically means is that they are starting sustainable communities at both of these spots, not only communities that are sustainable in terms of, growing their own food and providing their own energy and those sorts of things, but also healing centers and ceremonial centers. And basically, it's all for the purpose of providing these sustainable communities and these ceremonial centers and healing centers for the purpose of preparing us for, and I'm going to just come right out and say it, the very, very challenging times ahead, which I do believe that we are facing and that we are in the midst of. And I don't say challenging times ahead for the sake of frightening people. I never do, but people do need to be aware of this, that this is we are in a time of monumental transformation. And I mean monumental, as in, one world is coming to an end, which creates an opportunity for an entirely new world to be birthed in its place. So very, very, very big stuff here. And in 1 week, or in a little bit more than 1 week, there is another event being held by Earth Peoples United. It's being held in Guatemala at the place I just described on the shores of Lake Atitlan. And it's basically going to consist of 5 days of ceremony, traditional Mayan ceremony, which means sweat lodges at sunrise and sunrise pipe ceremonies and all-night prayer vigils and just 5 days of nonstop Mayan ceremony. and I'm going to be doing that in about a week. And what's so wonderful about this, there are so many things that are so wonderful about this, Michelle, but for me it's, I've always kind of done my own thing spiritually. I've had some strong influences in my life, but my spirituality basically just springs from my gut and from my instincts and from what I can pick up, from the universe. And it's always been that way. And every once in a while a teacher comes along that reinforces me in terms of, hey, you were right the whole time and that sort of thing. But I've always been very, very independent. I've never had a tribe. I've never had a group. But I've always been open to that. I've always been open to, to fitting into a tribe or to finding a group or something like that. And I suspect with Earth Peoples United that may be what this is. I think I may have found my tribe. It's a group of people that I resonate with just so thoroughly. And not only do I resonate with the people, but the message is also 100% in resonance with everything I wrote about in Infinity's Flower. This is like Infinity's Flower come to life for me in terms of the message. And that's all so exciting. There's so many synchronistic things going on here in relationship to all this. And I'm not sure where all this fits in the long run for me as far as this group and my work, and I'm not sure how it all fits together other than the fact that I know it does fit together, and it'll be very interesting to see how all this plays out in the future. There's every likelihood I could end up going and living at this place in Guatemala in the very near future, or there's every likelihood I could also take off and live at their community that they're forming at Deer Mountain in California. So we'll just have to see which way. This is a brand new. It's only several months in happening, but it's a perfect fit for me, and I'm very excited about it. And it's wonderful. Michelle, I'm a teacher, and I'm a priest, if you will. And I've got a message that's all about spirituality. And I am usually the one who's in the teaching role and not in the student role. And it's so interesting that with this new group, all of a sudden. We're just all equals. There aren't any other than Eric. Eric's the teacher, of course. He's the elder, and he's the one who leads all the ceremonies and everything. So, he of course is the teacher. But it's so wonderful to be among a group of just complete equals. Brothers, sisters, and angels and higher beings, and it's just a wonderful thing. And I'm talking, and this consists of young people and old people and middle-aged people and. Sometimes in this experience, I find myself talking with, a 18, 19, 20-year-old, and I'm just hearing such incredible wisdom coming from these people, and I'm just saying, gee whiz, I'm 61 years old, and I've worked my whole life at acquiring this wisdom. How did you get it so quickly? But it's so exciting to be around this energy, and this is just a very, very exciting time to be alive.
Well, I think it's always, I think of growing up as a channel and having this, I did, 30 years ago plus, come across people that had similar gifts and shamanically trained, studied with a Mayan teacher, actually in the Midwest, did some work with a group that they had there and receive some teaching gifts. In that discipline, though, each person's bringing their own gift, even if there's an elder or one that's leading the ceremony at one point in your teaching or, learning, if you will, you're asked to participate or bring your gift, whatever that is, find that out. But the difference, I think, that's happening, and it's part of this what we call the converging flow, is that people are now... more people are waking up, but we're coming together. And even things like technology, where, you and I can be talking now and, hundreds of people in the chat listening, people on a phone line, people driving in their car listening, people, all over the world are listening via computer, is that we're able to come together instead of, going not just days, maybe months or years, and then finding people that are resonating like this.
Mm-hmm.
So there seems to be this huge confluence, and I've seen this too as well with everyone that I'm talking to and working with, is that there is a real push right now for people to gather in small groups.
I think that's where it's at, and I think when I think about remaking the world, and when we get done remaking it, what it's going to look like, I see us moving back to small. I see the solution
community
to the world's problems, at least as long as we're here in the third dimension and we're still here on you know, in this material, you know, third dimension in our physical bodies and all that sort of thing. I see us returning to small, sustainable, tribe-like communities. I think that's what I think that's what works the best. And
yeah, I agree. Well, you know,
we can't communicate amongst tribes, and it doesn't mean we can't trade, and it doesn't mean we can't have a, it doesn't mean we can't have a global community. We can. But I just think I just think that's what works the best. It's the most manageable. It's the most. It's the easiest to govern. And I think that when we start over, and I think we are going to be starting over. That's how I see it. I see this is really big. I mean, this is huge in terms of what we're experiencing right now. And I do see it as an opportunity to start over. And in starting over, I think we're almost forced to start over in small communities. I think we have to start because it just doesn't make any sense any other way if we're gonna start from scratch. Because you know, whoever's there, you get together and you decide what you're gonna do, and then you do it, and then you move on from there. So I think that's where it's at. I think that's very consistent with natural law, divine law, and all those sorts of things. Small communities.
Well, it's interesting. From I peruse the web and a lot of digesting a lot of information, and whether it's social media, someone like a Seth Godin who talks on, by the way, has a book called The Tribe, and how people are assembling in tribes of, you know, like-minded individuals, and he's coming more from a sociological and marketing standpoint. I just read last night on another technology magazine, online, Wired, was saying exactly the same thing about sustainability, coming together, people not just being individually focused, but also focused on, you know, friends, family, community, how can I help? It seems that there is this real pull or, you know, nudge or this yearning, this call for people to band together.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And there's a lot of different ways that we can band together. You know, when I think about the shift and when I think about what's happening in the world and the old paradigm, you know, coming down basically, and earth changes and all those sorts of things, you know, one of the things that I often think is a distinct possibility is I think that our technology may be taken away from us for a while. I think there's a very very good possibility that, you know, there could be some problems with our infrastructure in the very near future, which means that, you know, we're going to be forced basically, you know, again, you know, to do things.
Well, there's parallel stuff being created already for that. I agree with you.
Oh, yeah, but the point I was going to make, though, even under those circumstances, even if we can't be connected technologically, either by, you know, by some kind of wire or telephone or technology or that sort of thing, we can still be connected energetically. We can still be connected in higher realms. We can still be connected. And I think for us to have that energetic connection, I think is the most important connection of all. Let's just assume for a minute that we're all living in our small tribal-like communities at various places all around the world, and let's assume for a minute that we can't communicate with each other via technology. We can all still be energetically connected just by virtue of all of us in our small sustainable communities, you know, having our connection with spirit intact. On the basis of our connection with spirit intact, we all become energetically connected based upon that, and we become energetically connected, you know, in higher dimensions.
Yeah, and do you feel like, and again, exactly, do you feel that, and again, we're talking about things that have been happening, however, the preponderance of it now, many people saying that they're being visited by each other, by their friends, or more people more telepathic now, more psychic, more intuitive. Do you feel that it is so that we don't have this dependency on the outer form, you know, the hard, you know, hardware, if you will, that we're able to connect in a way that is in us or is us?
It's so funny we're talking about this. There's just so much synchronicity because I'm just now putting an article into my next newsletter that's called Communication in the New Paradigm, and it's essentially, it's an excerpt from the book that I'm in the process of wrapping up right now. But it's about just this. It's about communicating in the new paradigm, and it's about transcending our current technology. And it's about transcending our current technology by virtue of including in our technology two things that currently are not included in our technology. And one of the things that's currently not included in our technology is our consciousness. You know, our old paradigm technology with all the wires and all the computers and all the hardware and everything, when you look at it from a new paradigm point of view, it's really quite primitive because you know, we don't need all those wires and we don't need all that hardware and we don't need all that stuff and all that matter. Because when we begin to develop our higher consciousness and when we integrate our higher consciousness and when we integrate our energy bodies into our technology, and then we start using more primitive forms of technology like pyramids and crystals and things like that, we're going to be every bit as capable of, you know, our technology will be, if not as advanced, it will be more advanced based upon the things we'll be able to do in those realms that make our current technology and it look very kind of primitive and clumsy and almost, you know, kind of crude in terms of, you know, how materialistic it all is. So yeah, there are definitely very, very significant, you know, higher levels to all this, and that's a very, very exciting thing.
And part of it, you feel it seems that we went as far as we could, or was necessary or needed, into that individuated consciousness, just coming back together of this, the awareness of the oneness. Which is always there. It's just we're going to be living by that space.
Well, yeah. Getting re-plugged in, basically, is what it's all about. It's funny, Michelle, everything I'm reading right now, I'm reading the Book of the Hopi for the first time, and I'm reading some other things, rereading them. Everything I'm reading right now tells me the same thing as far as kind of where we as a civilization, you know, got knocked off track. And we as a civilization basically got, it's all very, very simple. This is not complicated. You don't have to be an intellectual to understand this stuff. You know, we as a civilization basically got knocked off track by virtue of the disconnect that we allowed to happen far as becoming disconnected from the rhythm and flow of life, of nature, of natural forces, the disconnect that we allowed to happen from our connection with the divine spirit. And what we basically, and what's what people have allowed to happen in the third dimension over and over again, it appears throughout our long history, is that people have continually gotten seduced, if you will, by all the material temptations of the third dimensional world, and all of a sudden all our earthly goods are all of a sudden have a higher priority than our relationship with spirit. And that's backwards. And that's where the connection was lost. So once we reestablish that connection with spirit, then all that material stuff will just take care of itself. You know, with that as a foundation, as opposed to putting the matter first and, you know, putting spirit in the background. And when we do that, everything gets all just completely knocked out of balance. And of course, I'm not making a radical statement by virtue of saying that our world today has definitely been knocked out of balance, as far as, you know, the human race appearing as though it is not even capable of, you know, sustaining its own existence anymore. That's a pretty imbalanced state, but easy enough for us to regain that balance simply by, you know, getting back in balance with the divine spirit and with, you know, what's really important in life.
Well, it's interesting. It became that the imbalance or the cutting off came in a sense of that victim coding, power over, power under, where you no longer have your own connection to spirit. Well, you, first of all, you're not spirit. You're not that. You have a connection to it, and you need an intermediary person to do this. And to connect, right, to spirit or God, you have to do this and this and this and so, you know.
We got sucked into the trap of believing that it was necessary for other people outside of us, external to us, or other beings, or whatever we want to call it, the government or the institutions, for them to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves. And that's what you call victim. I agree. That is victim in terms of it's us giving up our responsibility for our own lives, basically. Yeah. And it's all about reassuming responsibility for our own life, you know, getting back in touch with taking care of ourselves.
Exactly.
As opposed to expecting the government to take care of us, expecting doctors to take care of us.
Well, it's in, you know, this...
Whatever it might be.
Whatever it might be. And what I find is the societal programming is so strong that we want someone. We want a boyfriend to make us feel better. We want a girlfriend. We want a husband, a wife, or, you know, we want a teacher to make us feel better. We want everybody to do something for us. not recognizing that it is us, it's within
it all,
us.
It all comes from within. Every single last bit of it comes from within. And once we get that inner part right, everything else falls together. Relationships, money, you know, whatever it might be, all springs from having it together. I mean, you know, and I don't mean to sound, you know, too simplistic about all this, but the way I live my life right now is I really don't even worry about relationships. All I worry about is getting myself together internally. And once I'm together internally, the relationships just take care of themselves. They just, I attract what I attract based upon what's going on inside of me, and all that.
Absolutely.
I don't have to worry about those relationships because they take care of themselves based upon, you know, me having my own stuff together internally and whatever I'm in relationship with also having their stuff together internally. And then on that basis, you just simply come together and join, and what happens, happens. And so, it's all there. It's also simple, and yet, we make it so complicated.
Yeah, well, because you have to alter your behavior and your thought process. And now,
well,
Jack, do you feel...
I heard that I've been working on this stuff for almost 45 years, too. I mean, you know, a lot of people I don't mean to sound insensitive. There are a lot of people right now in the world who are, just in the last couple of years, have completely had the rug pulled out from underneath them as far as their life is concerned. And I don't mean to sound insensitive to them because, you know, I know how hard that is. I've had that done to me, but in my case, it was done 40 years ago. So I've, you know, I've had a lot of time to work on it. But another one of the wonderful things about today's world, I believe, Michelle, is that I believe in this field of shifting energies that we find ourselves in. I don't think it takes 40 years anymore for us to do the work we need to do. I think we can do it a lot quicker these days. Remember way back when, I don't know how old you are, but I have a feeling I probably got you by about 20 years or something. But, you know, back when I was, back in the 70s when I was, you know, going through a lot of my, you know, real transformative stuff, a lot of people were going into therapy in those days in order to, you know, to get their stuff together. And in those days, the common belief was that in order to, you know, to change, in order to get your act together, you need to be in therapy for like 10 or 20 years. And it just is not the case anymore. Things have speeded up, and people can do the work now a lot more quickly. And that's one of the wonderful opportunities that exists in today's world. You know, things are speeding up, and in many ways, the speeding up, you know, is making us crazy in a lot of ways. But in most ways, if we resonate with it properly, the speeding up is a very good thing in terms of, you know, we can learn faster and the wisdom's coming faster and it's all closer and dimensions are overlapping and there's a whole positive element.
To a degree, but I say, because for me anyway, my path has been not just traditional, but a lot with at an early age with the metaphysical and shamanic and da-da-da-da-da-da, so we don't have to get into that. But the one thing that I do see really missing, the foundation, is I feel it's like people that are naturally psychic but never really work on their filtering, their inner state.
Uh-huh.
Reminds me of the Buddhist saying that, meditation without study is perilous. Study without meditation is, you know, labor.
Uh-huh.
So the one thing I do see missing is people handling their emotional issues or emotional body or getting that part of themselves aligned or healed or whatever term you want to use, because that's kind of where people are, in a way, these patterns that play out. There's a lot of triggering with all this light that's coming in and this energy.
Mm-hmm.
If you've done a lot of inner work, you're able to really open and ride with this. You know, it's amazing. If you haven't, it's really wrecks havoc because the vehicle isn't prepared for it. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but
right. Well, emotion management is not that a huge topic and a very, very important thing.
That's a nice way to put it.
I was a psychotherapist in private practice for 15 years. Plus, I was in 20 years of therapy myself. So that is I don't live in that world anymore, but that is a language that I can speak.
It's
important for people to know the basic principles of emotion management. And if you don't know the basic principles of emotion management, then, you know, when our emotions are triggered, for example, by all the wild and crazy things that are happening in the world today, it makes sense for people's emotions to be triggered under these circumstances. But if people don't understand the basic principles of emotion management, you know, it can be very crazy-making, you know, as opposed to them, you know, just feeling whatever they need to feel as far as their emotions, but then, you know, just getting it together as far as as far as that's concerned. Do you want to just talk a little bit about just the real basics of emotion management? Do you want
to
talk about
that? I would love for you to, yeah, because I think a lot of people want to skip over it. Everyone wants to be the Buddha, you know.
Well, that's part of being
rising.
The Buddha.
It is, but that's, I know. If you, I know.
Understanding human emotions, because
like,
if you don't.
Exactly. But they only want to be one aspect, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, if you would love to.
Well, yeah,
share
a lot
of
people, too, what that amounts to, too, is it amounts to denial. I mean, a lot of people, you know, their emotions come up, and then what society tells us is, society tells us that our emotions are bad, particularly our negative emotions. You know, if we're feeling angry or if we're feeling, you know, stress or anxiety or anything like that, you know, the world says, ooh, that's bad, you're not supposed to feel that. So what people do then is they rather than working through them properly, what they do then is they just simply cover them over. Because the world tells them they're bad, therefore I'm not supposed to be feeling this way. Therefore, anything I can do not to feel this way is good. So what people normally do under those circumstances is they do exactly what they shouldn't do. They stuff them. And when you stuff your emotions and pretend like they're not there, I guarantee you they're gonna rear their ugly head, you know, somewhere else, because that is just not the way to manage them. What people need to know about emotions is that our emotions are very healthy. They're there for a reason. Our emotions are one of the things that gives spice to our life, you know, both positive and negative emotions. An emotion like fear is there, for example, for the purpose of our survival. You know, fear is an emotion that helps us. It helps us in situations of danger. So it's important for us, you know, to be in touch with that and to be able to flow with that. You know, if we're facing a rattlesnake or something like that. So people need to know that their emotions are okay. But the other thing that people need to know about their emotions is it's okay to feel them. And this is one of my most important mantras for emotion management. I would like to encourage your listeners out there just to write this one down, because this is really important. I got this from the Don Juan books from Carlos Castaneda. Because Carlos was always losing his mind. You know, he was always neurotic and going crazy, and he was being anxious and just, you know, being a real baby, basically. I don't know how he ever, you know, transcended the way he did based upon what an idiot he portrayed himself to be in his books. But he was always an emotional wreck. And Don Juan always told him the same thing. He said, go ahead and feel your emotions. They're fine. But don't indulge in them.
Mm-hmm.
Feel them and don't indulge in them. And what that means is, you know, you feel what you need to feel as far as, you know, whatever you're feeling in relationship to whatever the stimulus is. But then after you felt your emotion, then you need to get to work on either solving the problem that created the emotion to begin with, which is the best way, you know, for people to manage their emotions, solve the problem that caused the emotion to begin with. But very often when we get to work on solving the problem that caused the emotion, what we find is that when we solve the problem, it doesn't. The emotion doesn't go away. The emotion is still there. So then there's a very valuable lesson to be learned from that. And the valuable lesson to be learned from that is that the emotion wasn't, you know, out there attached to some external situation. The emotion is actually something inside of us. It's something that's unresolved inside of us. In other words, I've got some anger in me that's there for whatever reason. For whatever reason, I learned it. You know, there it is. You know, somewhere along the line in my life, I learned. I learned, for example, life is unfair. Well, if I've got that life is unfair thing going on, you know, in my head, I'm going to be an angry person. And so what that person needs to realize then is that the emotional problem is something that is within them that needs to be worked through, as opposed to something, you know, out in the external world that can be remedied as a result of solving a problem. And what we all need to know about, once we recognize that the emotion is within us to be worked through, it's at that point where we need to recognize, you know, what's causing it in terms of, you know, where did I learn this? What's the message? One of the things I like to call it is I like to call it internal dialogue. You know, those tapes that run in our heads. The tapes that run in our heads are virtually the things that cause the emotions to begin with. And in most cases in our civilization, the tapes that run on our heads, and in our culture, there really are, is one primary, there's a couple of real primary tapes that run in our culture. You know, I was a psychotherapist in 15 years, so I got to study what made people crazy, if you will, in terms of their
the
thinking.
Tapes. Yeah.
I recognized with virtually everybody I worked with, and I don't care what their problem was, I always recognized the same basic thought problems were at the root of causing emotional imbalances. And one of the thought patterns had to do with self-condemnation. I'm no good. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. I've got to do more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's usually something we learn from our parents, or we learn it from the culture, or something like that.
Outside of us, ourselves, and then we bring it internally, we internalize it.
And we also, one of the things we need to learn is we need to learn that tape is wrong. You know, we're not no good. We're not worthless. We're not inadequate. That's just a tape that's running around in our head. And that's a very important lesson for us to learn. Once we begin to learn that we're not that tape, you know, that's when things begin to turn around for us, and we can begin to redefine ourselves in terms of, well, if I'm not that, who or what am I? And it's at that point where we can begin to redefine ourselves. And Michelle, let me just say one last thing about emotion management here, because this is kind of the and what it all boils down to, and this is what it all boils down to when it comes back to us redefining ourselves and not indulging in our emotions, like I just talked about a second ago. In order for us to manage our emotions, it always comes back to the same thing, it always comes back to our spirituality. Whenever our emotions are askew, in terms of we're feeling too much anxiety, too much fear, too much hatred, too much anger, whatever the negative emotion might be, whenever our emotions are out of whack in that regard, it is always a sign that we are not in alignment spiritually. And that applies for you and me and for anybody.
Anybody.
About a couple of years ago, almost two years ago, one day it'll be 2 years this summer, we had some horrendous rains here in Wisconsin. And I remember, and it was scary. I remember getting frightened. And I know about the shift and all that. And I was saying, well, here it is. But I still noticed.
Yeah, right.
I still noticed, it's time to build a boat. Kind of.
That's
thing.
Right. Exactly.
The Midwest was filling up like a bathtub.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, is this it? Do we need to take action? Do we need to do something? But I noticed myself getting very inordinately frightened. And as soon as I noticed that, I said to myself, what is going on here? Where is this fear coming from? And then it dawned upon me that I just, I'd gotten a little bit lazy spiritually, and I just needed to get myself back in alignment spiritually.
Good reminder, yes.
When we're in alignment spiritually,
yeah,
never, ever, anything to fear, ever.
So true.
But
wow, because when we're alignment spiritually, we're in the oneness. God, Jack, that is huge.
Well, plus when we know that our connection with the divine spirit is intact and vibrant and alive, and when we know that that connection is there, we never have anything to fear, because we know that the spirit will take care of us. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, once that connection is intact, the fear and all the negative emotions just simply melts away. So in spite of all the other, kind of principles and everything, everything always comes back to our spirituality anyway, doesn't it, Michelle? I mean, everything always comes back to us. Whenever we try to solve whatever problems we have, in the mundane world of, third-dimensional matter, that's not the place to solve those problems. The place to solve the problems ultimately is always, with our spirituality. And it's a heck of a lot easier that way also. The other thing people need to know about about emotion management, one of the fundamental things and this is probably even more fundamental, I probably should have mentioned this at the beginning, the message that we get from our culture, from our crazy culture and from the medical community and from the shrinks and everybody else, the message that we get is that as far as our emotions are concerned, we're not in control. They control us. In other words, once again, we're in this helpless victim model. We're helpless victims of our biochemistry or our genetics.
Yeah.
For some reason, they're like aliens that just took over our bodies.
There's
nothing we can do about it. That is a terrible, terrible, tragic misconception, because we do have the capability to learn how to manage our emotions. That's one of the things that makes us human. We do have the capability to learn how to do it. When we don't learn how to do it, it can seem like an alien that, you know, invaded our body. And it can seem like, you know, they run us as opposed to us running them. But that's not the way it works. Ultimately, we do have the ability to manage our emotions and to control our emotions so that we're the boss. And then again, it comes back to, you know, our spirituality and just, you know, getting everything back in balance.
I love what you're saying because last week in my meditation class, there's someone listening in the chat, I said that meditation, coming your spiritual practice, living in that meditative state is a way of managing your emotions. You're simply managing energy, really.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, Jack, maybe that's what a little, everyone needs a little course in energy management or emotional management, you know, there should be a little toolkit, you know, a little, you know, you go off into the world and that's part of your toolkit, your survival kit.
Well, and I think that let's talk about the toolkit too, because I also believe that in one of the first things I tell anybody that ever comes to me for emotion management is one of our most important tools is breathing and meditating. And everybody should meditate every day. I know that sounds like a very kind of unconditional statement, but it is. We should all mm-hmm. take at least 20 minutes every day just to simply sit and breathe and be every single day. Because when we do it every day, when we breathe and sit and be and meditate and, you know, make our mind a place of quietness and silence and calm our bodies and those sorts of things, when we do that every day, then it becomes a habit. Then it becomes automatic. It becomes a part of us. If we don't do it, if we don't practice it, then it won't. Let me illustrate this with an example, Michelle. When I went to Deer Mountain last November, I encountered a challenge that I wasn't counting on. And the challenge was all the ceremony I was doing, the Mayan ceremony I was doing, was requiring that I sit on the ground in a very small space for long periods of time, like 2 hours in the sweat lodge, for example. And I couldn't do it. I had kind of lost touch with how hard it was for me to sit cross-legged on the ground for long, long periods of time. I couldn't do it. My body was in terrible pain because I wasn't practiced at that. You know, I hadn't been doing it enough, and I literally had to be asked to be excused from the sweat lodge after about an hour and a half because my legs were cramping up. Now, I'm not proud of that, but, you know, it is what it is.
I've been there.
So I decided to come home, and I said, I'm not ever going to let this happen again. I don't want to leave the sweat lodges. And in addition to the other kinds of meditating that I did, I now did a form of meditating where I sit on the earth every morning. Now, I still can't cross my legs. I'm just not that flexible. But I can sit on the earth and kind of with bent legs, and I kind of hold on to my ankles and those sorts of things. But I can do that now, and I can do it for, you know, extended periods of time, and I will now be able to sit through the sweat lodges. But what's important about that is it's sitting in that position every day. After only 2 months, that position has now all of a sudden become something that's very familiar, something that's very comfortable. Every time I get in that position now, I just kind of go, you know, here I am in my position, sitting on Grandmother Earth, you know, with my spine, you know, touching the earth. And that position, which was causing my entire body to cramp up 2 months ago, has now become a situation of, I'm in my position. So, and it only took 2 months. So see how quickly we can, you know, we can recondition ourselves to, you know, to form ourselves to, you know, to something new and to something different that was, you know, in other words, it becomes something that we're familiar with, something we're accustomed to. It becomes a part of us. And that applies to everything. You know, thinking good thoughts as opposed to thinking bad thoughts. You know, the more we can think good thoughts, the more it becomes a habit.
But part of what I hear in this, though, is you took, again, self-accountability. You didn't blame the sweat lodge or why did they have it on this
I could have really easily blamed being 61 years old. That would have been really...
Oh, 60, yeah, yeah. Or it's my age. I shouldn't have to sit like this.
Or I should be allowed to have a cushion. You know, nobody else...
Yeah, exactly, Jack. that's what I'm saying. People need to step into that. What is this awareness for them, whether you want to call it a learning or whatever, but I don't know. I'm just seeing things like this situation that you're sharing with us. They're a call for us to extend, expand, breathe out, to get more of us to come through, more of our spiritual energy to come through.
Right, right. So there's a little bit of emotion management. I hope that's helpful to some of your listeners.
Oh.
There's a lot more to it than that, but it certainly doesn't. If you want to know where to begin with emotion management, start with sitting and relaxing and breathing and meditating every day for 20 minutes. And if you have a hard time doing it, if you have a hard time sitting still, or if you're too hyper or whatever it is, then that's something that you've got to work on. Then that becomes an issue. There's something going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that is a
natural state for us to be able to sit and relax, breathe, and just be. Because that's really where our connection to the spirit world comes from. You know, when we're calm and quiet and still and void-like.
Mm. Now, do you feel that what we're talking about is going to be more prevalent or needed or necessary or more important as we are moving more and more into these, activations and accelerations?
Yes.
Okay.
Again, Michelle, for me, it's all, either I'm not a very intelligent person or I'm very, very gifted at always making things really simple in terms of my understanding of things. But for me, in terms of the shift, and in terms of this, we are in an age, like I said before, of a very, very dramatic transformation, as in the death of one world and the opportunity for the birth of another one. We are also looking at the Earth also has reached a point where it is going to fight back and it's going to defend itself. It's not going to put up with any of this stuff anymore, and it's going to do whatever it needs to do to retain its balance. So we're also looking at a very, very distinct possibility of some considerable, Earth changes in the year ahead, together with these paradigm shifts. But as far as what we can do about that, we as individuals, for me, it always comes back to the same thing, and it always starts with the same thing. And then once we start at this point, it will then kind of expand out from there. But it always starts with us. And it always starts with us getting to work on our own stuff. And I like to refer to it as the process of ascension. It always comes back to our own embarking upon the path of our own personal ascension, each and every one of us. And all that basically means is getting ourselves together spiritually, raising our, energetic frequency vibrationally, with feelings of peacefulness, joy, reverence, and love. And those sorts of things. It always comes back to that. It comes back to getting our heart right. It comes back to getting our spirit right. And when we get our heart right and when we get our spirit right, once again, there is nothing to fear. And in lieu of all these amazing changes that we're looking at, we not only can count on the fact that when we get our spirituality right, when we get our heart right, we can count on the fact that this will be our primary source of protection, and it also will be the primary source of our power. That is our power to create, the new world of light and spirit. Again, in everything that I read, Michelle, it always comes back to that. I'm reading the Book of the Hopi now by Frank Waters, which was written in the 1960s, which was basically a bunch of Hopi elders coming out and sharing the ancient wisdom with a white man, and it's basically a Hopi Bible, and it really is an amazing, amazing book. But once again, I'm hearing the same thing, from the Hopi book, and that is, those people that take care of their spirituality will always be okay. Always.
Yeah.
Those people that don't, those people that, cling to the old paradigm energies, or those people that, get lost in terms of putting the material stuff first and the spiritual stuff second, those people are going to struggle. It always comes back to that. Always.
Mm-hmm.
We get our spirituality together, we're going to be fine. We're going to be protected, we're going to be safe, and we're going to be empowered. It always comes back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's absurdly simple, but it works for me.
Mm. Well, I think what's that saying? Truth is always simple. It's just what makes it difficult is what we need to do to align to that, and maybe that's why, in a way, that the out-picturing of us having gone so far in this other realm or reality that was co-created, we're getting squeezed to go into the spirit, It's, what's that, Jack? Oh, he just disappeared. Jack, come back. We just lost the, let me know if we don't have sound. I'm seeing that we have sound, but we just lost Jack, so hopefully he'll call. There he is.
And
Welcome back.
Sorry.
You got blown
so whatever you whatever did you know I went away or did you talk for a while?
Yeah, I did. I did. I saw it.
Whatever you just said, I missed. So
okay. Well, no,
that?
I was saying that in a way we're being this you know reality that was co-created. We've gone so far in that one direction that it seems we're getting squeezed to go within, to get to that truth, that awareness, you know, the squeezing. And then it flashed in my mind,
but a lot
Jack,
of people
that,
are fighting that squeezing, though, which is...
I know.
I mean, we are all being squeezed. You're absolutely correct, but it's important to flow with that squeeze as opposed to fighting the squeeze, because if you fight it, if you fight anything, it creates problems. But, yeah, anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I'm sorry.
No, that was great. I love what you're saying about going with that, the squeezing, you know, because it is squeezing you inward, like you were saying, to your spiritual center, your spiritual nature. That's, And then what flashed in my mind, some joke about when somebody falling, I don't know, from the plane or falling from the mountain, something, and they're screaming, oh God, the atheist, a joke, you know, it doesn't have to be God, it could be whatever, you know, you're connecting with spiritually, but not believing, and then at the end when they're, you know, tumbling to their death, they go, oh God, help me, God.
Really? Help me.
Help me, yeah, finally, now, where are
time
you?
Time to pray, it's time to pray.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Well, and that's, you know,
You
mentioned the thing about squeezing, and that's one of the things about crisis that's so interesting, Michelle, because crisis or chaos or a challenge or anything like that, because anytime we're in crisis, anytime we're in what appears to be a state of chaos or imbalance or a challenge or anything like that, those things are always our primary means of learning whatever it is we need to learn. Crisis and chaos and things like that are always squeezing us. They're saying, look, I'm not going to give you any choice anymore. You have to look at this, and if you don't look at this, you're going, you know, things are just going to get worse. In other words, they're forcing us. How many times have you heard the story about somebody hitting rock bottom, losing everything, and then when they hit rock bottom and they lose everything, and when they get to that point, all of a sudden the light goes off, and with nothing. Actually, that happened to me about 5 years ago. I lost everything. I literally didn't have a penny to my name, and I was, you know, things were really, really bad. One of the things that I learned when that happened was I basically had nothing left in the world, nothing. However, I did have one thing left, and the one thing I had left was my connection with spirit. And as soon as that light bulb went off in my head, I said, I have nothing, but I do have this. As soon as I realized that, everything changed, just like magic. I said, all I have left is my connection with spirit. I'm going to trust that. I'm going to go with that, like I always have. And I'm not just not going to worry about any of the rest. I don't care if I'm a street person. I'm just not going to worry about the rest of it. And as soon as I realized that the only thing I had left was really the only thing that I needed, everything changed, as if by magic. So it's one of those things that any time we're in a state of crisis or chaos, that chaos and those crises, those challenges are always our most important blessings. It's just a question of us being able to see them in that way. Like you said, I like the way you said it, it's the way of the universe kind of squeezing us, you know, to do what we need to do, you know, to get where we need to get to. And we need to go with the squeeze, and instead of, you know, seeing it as a bad thing, or seeing it as a crisis or chaos or whatever, see it as a blessing it is, and just flow with it, and then good things invariably will manifest from that.
Yeah, because you know, I like what you said, go with it, because the only part that's being squeezed is our constructed ego, the ego person. It's the only one that's feeling the squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
It's spirit squeezing through us, or the universe coming through us, going, you know, move in that direction, go other direction, or whatever, you know, over there, to the left, to the right, behind you, or whatever it is, above or below, whatever. Do you think in the shift in what you're seeing that for some that they'll be able to ride this more, feel this more, and get this new way of being communicated to, because there's the squeeze is getting more and more intense, and that some will perhaps resist it? Is there, do you see that there's kind of two camps, or do you feel that eventually everyone will kind of get it?
Oh, no, well, there definitely is two camps, and I don't think, unfortunately, I don't think everybody will get it. It would be wonderful if they did. If everybody gets it, then we're out of the world, you know. All our problems are over, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah.
I mean, that,
no extreme situation.
That would be wonderful. But I think one of the things that is happening is I think because many people are being forced to awaken, and many people are, as opposed to resisting that, they are getting it. And one of the reasons that this is happening is because, like I said a minute ago, with the old paradigm is beginning to, you know, really limp along pretty intensely these days with the economy and just all the crazy things that are happening in the world. And what that's doing for a lot of people is, you know, a lot of people were very, very, not I mean monetarily invested, but a lot of people are, you know, tremendously invested in the old paradigm simply because they, you know, they were born and raised to believe that, you know, that was the world that, you know, that was the world. And there's nothing bad in that, you know. I mean, if you don't know something, you can't know something that you don't know. And if you don't know it, you don't know it. And all of a sudden, this old paradigm world that they were taught is, you know, sacred, and that's the world that we're supposed to live in. All of a sudden, it gets ripped away from them, and they're going, oh, wait a minute. And particularly with this whole economic thing right now, what a lot of people are seeing is they're seeing that, you know, a lot of their investment advisors and a lot of those bankers and a lot of those people in the old paradigm financial system, they're seeing real clearly that they were lied to. These people that they always thought were their, you know, were on their side, they're beginning to see, you know, wait a minute, not only was my banker and my investor lying to me, the whole system was lying to me. And when people see that, they go, oh, wait a minute, maybe there's something, you know, about this world that I just missed. You know, maybe this world isn't what it was cracked up to be. Maybe I need to look somewhere else. I need to look at some alternatives. And a lot of people are awakening as a result of that. You know, they're being so betrayed by the old paradigm that they're, you know, those that, you know, are getting it, you know, are seeing that, are being forced, rather, to, you know, to look at other possibilities, and that's when they tune into Awakenings Radio with Michelle Maiche, and they begin to see some new things. But a lot of people are being forced, and some people are getting it, and a lot of them aren't, and we can only pray that you know, as things roll along, that more and more people will get it, and if they do, that would be wonderful. Michelle, we can only help people who are willing to accept our help. You know, we cannot help people who are close to that. You know, it's just, you know, talking to deaf ears, and we can only hope that you know, that they open up and get it. And but if they don't, it's a sad thing. But you know, that's their choice. I hate to say that, but it is.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's ultimately, you're responsible for the ride. What ticket you pick, and you can always exchange tickets or the dessert tray. You can always say no or get something else. I think that's, people don't get it, that they do have more choice. But then this goes back to that accountability you were talking about. Now, Jack, you said something interesting that I had not heard before and I didn't think of before myself, that a lot of people are invested not just because of the money or the monetary, but what you're saying is just because they were told this and to believe this. So that is enough, you're saying, for someone to hold on to this old paradigm or old...
Well, sure. They're emotion. In other words, they're emotionally invested in it. And they're emotionally invested in it because that is the world that they were, you know, born and raised to believe. That was the way the world was supposed to be. You know? And I think we all, and, you know, maybe you did. I certainly went through that in my life. You know, I was very much, you know, a good Catholic and all those kinds of things, you know, for the first 18 years of my life, basically just following the rules of the old paradigm. And because that was the world I was, you know, I was taught that was the way the world was supposed to be. So I just didn't know any better. And that's the way it is for a lot of people. But our attachment to the old paradigm is certainly a lot more than just monetarily. It's across the board. It's you know, the old paradigm is about more than just money. It's about every aspect of the old paradigm. It's about relationships. It's about institutions. It's about, you know, everything.
Mm-hmm. And in this shift, what are you seeing? You talk about the shift of the ages. Are there some things that you feel that will definitely happen in this shift? And where do you feel we're going or evolving to through this shift?
Well, how much time do you have?
Yeah, exactly. I need to have you on longer. 3-hour show next time, at least 2-hour.
let me answer that as briefly and concisely as I can in terms of, you know, where things are headed and how I see the whole thing, and also some of the things that I'm learning. I'm learning an awful lot these days from a Mayan elder and from the Book of the Hopi and from a lot of other things. In my opinion, the shift has already started. I mean, we're in it. I mean, you know, the shift is basically what the shift is, the shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields, and it's as a function of this 26,000-year cycle that the Earth and our solar system has as it travels on its journey through the universe, and we're now at that 26,000-year kind of turnover point. And we've entered this energy field. You know, it's happening. The shift is happening. It's happening now. So we're in it. I am not big on predictions. What I'm big on is I'm big on possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of all the various possibilities. And there are so many, and I, to tell you the truth too, Michelle, I think people really get kind of stuck in predictions, and I think they get kind of attracted to predictions and in a way that I don't necessarily think is a healthy thing. It's kind of the same way that people so often are so attracted to watching, you know, plane crashes on TV. It gives me the same kind of feeling with people so hinged on.
I agree.
Well, what's going to happen on such and such a day? And now we've got 11/11, and before that there was 9/9/9, and all these predictions and all these things. And I think people get way too stuck in that. I think they have a real fascination for it. And I try to stay away.
You don't take in the mitigating consciousness that things are shifting, so you may not have that situation, you know, occurring because there's been a shift. That's what the shifting is about. But what do you see coming up? What do you feel, even on a socioeconomic or maybe a interpersonal? I'm looking more into that because I honestly don't believe in this doom and, you know.
Oh, no, I'm not into the doom and gloom at all. Yeah. That is one possibility.
Makes a good movie.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure that 2012 movie is going to be—it's going to be all about that, and I'm pretty sure it'll all be about global government too, in terms of all those movies.
People
all are.
Global,
you know, the thing that's going to save us is some form of global government or something. I'm sure that'll be in there. That'll be in there somewhere. But let me tell you some of the things that I think we can say about what's going to happen for sure. And remember, I'm not a prediction guy, so I'm not going to. But as far as all the predictions are concerned, Michelle, just one thing about predictions: all the predictions are nothing more than one possibility. And every prediction I've ever heard is one possibility among thousands of possibilities. And when I look at what we're going through, I see thousands of possibilities. Which ones are going to play out, I don't know. But there's a few things I can say for certain. One thing I can, and again, this is something that all of my sources agree upon, and my primary sources are indigenous sources, and the indigenous people have been telling us this for thousands and thousands of years. And that is that the old paradigm, as it is currently constructed, cannot sustain itself. It is a world that must collapse, and it must collapse because it's built upon a non-sustainable foundation. You know, it's built upon the foundation of matter and not spirit, and it's built upon the foundation of controlling nature as opposed to being in harmony with nature. This world cannot possibly survive. The old paradigm is going to come down, and I say it is a blessing. Thank God the old paradigm is going to come down because it's not working. I mean, look at what the old paradigm is doing to our world, to our Earth. It's destroying it. So one thing I can say for certain is that the old paradigm is going to come down. As far as time frames are concerned, and as far as this happening, as far as the shift is concerned, I believe that the December 21st, 2012 date, I believe it's pretty right on. I think that, but it's not right on in terms of that anything in particular is going to happen on that day. I'm very much of the opinion that marks kind of a center point of a window of time. And I think we're dealing with a window of time around December 21st, 2012, where things are really going to shift and where this opportunity to create the new world is going to exist. I am of the opinion that window of time around 2012 is in the neighborhood of 3 years on both sides. That's what I believe, and that's how I see everything kind of, and that's what my sources are basically telling me too.
Mine too.
Both my sources.
Mine too.
Well, and a lot of my sources are spirit sources too. So, 3 years on either side of 2012, this is going to play out, and which means we're entering that window, because this December 21st will be 3 years away from solstice 2012. The other thing that I see as far as the shift is concerned, Michelle, is, and I think this is something that people need to be aware of about the shift. And again, this comes primarily from my indigenous sources. There's a lot of misunderstanding about the shift. Everybody's jumping on this bandwagon now. Every new age author, writer, teacher, they're all writing about the shift. And some of them don't know one friggin' fig about the shift. But they're jumping on the bandwagon, and they're giving it their own spin, and really putting out a lot of disinformation and a lot of really confusing a lot of people about what all this means. What the shift basically is within this 6 year period of time, in between now and 3 years after December 21st, 2012, there will be an opportunity, an energetic opportunity, for us to create an entirely new world. And this entirely new world is a world that does not resemble our third-dimensional old paradigm material world. This is a higher frequency world of energy and a world of spirit. And it's a world that we can only create, and we actually aren't creating it because it's already there. What we're doing is we are actually moving to it, and we're moving to it by virtue of our own ascension process. So this is a very, very spiritual thing, and it's not something we're going to be doing with our physical bodies. It's something we're going to be we have the capability to do with our energy bodies, or with our mm-hmm. with our spirit, with our energy. So this is definitely a transcendental process that we're talking about. And that opportunity is going to be somewhere within this 6 year period of time. So it's incumbent upon all of us at this point, you know, to make a commitment to our process of ascension and to get to work on it. Because if we do, then we can make this happen. As far as the specific, you know, what this world's going to look like and what form it's going to take and all that kind of stuff, I just kind of stay out of that one. I just don't know. I just don't know. All I know is it's going to be a totally different world. It's going to be a world of energy. It's going to be a world of spirit. It's going to be a world we get to by virtue of raising our own energetic frequency in a sense of ascension. And as far as the rest of it is concerned, I've got like a 25-page chapter in the book I'm writing called The New World of Light and Spirit, in which I kind of give impressions of it in a wide variety of different ways. But there's only one way we can understand this new world, and that is through the eyes of our spirituality. If we try to understand this new world through our old paradigm, you know, material eyes, it won't make sense. It'll just sound crazy. So the only way we can understand this world is through the eyes of our higher consciousness, through the eyes of our spirituality, and the only way we can get there is by virtue of enough of us, you know, getting to work on our own ascension process. So there's just a little bit of it in a nutshell. And as far as the realities of the third dimensional world at this time, in terms of the economy coming down and all that stuff that's happening out there, I, at this point in my own life, am endeavoring to live as much of my life outside of the old paradigm as possible. And I think it's necessary for me to do this because I do see myself as a messenger here. And in order for my message to have any meaning, it's important for me to be living a new paradigm lifestyle, and for the new paradigm message to be, you know, to be complete 100%. So
we have to be living it.
Yeah, we have to be living it. So I am endeavoring to live as much of my life outside of the old paradigm as I possibly can. Whenever I find myself getting pulled into, you know, old paradigm energies, and I find that it's just pulling me down, I get the hell out of there. Even if I'm with, you know, people who are old friends of mine, and I'm in a conversation, or excuse me, and it's just starting to weigh me down. Those are just situations I can't allow myself to be in anymore. So, excuse me, I just swallowed wrong there. So that's another feature of this is to live the new paradigm lifestyle as much as possible. What does that mean, living the new paradigm lifestyle as much as possible? It means, like we said a little while ago, taking responsibility, taking 100% responsibility for every aspect of our lives, not mm-hmm. counting on anybody to take care of us or not counting on anybody to give us anything or anything else, taking 100% responsibility for our spirituality, taking 100% responsibility for our lives and for our sustenance and for everything else. That's an integral part of this whole thing. And that's an integral part of the ascension process,
the ascension. Well, then one thing is you're saying, and I'm just so loving what you're saying. It's such a wonderful confirmation. And I was, one of the main reasons I love when you're able to come on the program, and hopefully you'll be able to more. What I'm finding is when you live this way, you're moving more vibratory. You are coming from your resonance, your vibrational frequency. So you begin, and I think you said this earlier, you start attracting the right or the most life-enhancing people in situations. You don't get caught up in these third-dimensional dramas because you're not being forced in a role. You know, you're just responding to spirit, to the truth, and
right.
anything else you just move away from.
Uh-huh.
And I know since I started doing that, and I would say it's probably, I've to a degree for many years been doing this, but some call, especially I would say the last 2 months I noticed a difference, and then this past May, June, where I really started living that more, and friends of mine noticing this, and now them starting to do this, where they're like, wow, you just didn't get into that, or you didn't, I said, nah, never mind, next, let's go, you know, clean mirror, not buying it, move on, that's their stuff, let's go.
Right.
And now life is more like, it's really about play, the play of spirit, play of consciousness. When you get it, move out of that other way of thinking, there's less, well, definitely less worry and less trauma. Let me go. We got a question here. What's going to thrust us into this new shift of consciousness? This is from Eric, which I think you spoke about, that we're in that, but can you touch on that a bit?
What's going to thrust us? Us.
we are
our own thrust. I mean, that's
oh, I love it. Woo,
I think we've already addressed that in a way. I mean, we are being thrust
by
a lot of external forces here. I mean, we are. I mean, things are happening around us that are you know, squeezing us, forcing us. I mean, we've already talked a bit about that. But as far as the primary source of our thrust, again, to return to what we said, to what we were talking about earlier, it always comes from within, always. It is the feelings that we have in our heart and the feelings that we have in our spirit, that's going to be our primary thrust. And when you start talking about the forces of our heart and the forces of our spirit, we're talking about some very, very powerful forces here. These are way beyond anything that you know, most of us know in the third dimension. You know, we get into some areas, you know, when we start trusting our spirit and we start trusting, you know, these kinds of powers, it's very, very powerful indeed. One of the things Eric Gonzalez says all the time, the Mayan elder that I've become affiliated with, is, you know, when he does these, we do these ceremonies, the Mayan ceremonies, which are very supernatural. I mean, this is a whole different paradigm going on here. And he always says, you know, he's got a tremendous sense of humor. He always says, you know, to people who, you know, might resist that or might think it's crazy or might think it's dangerous or whatever, he says, well, what did you expect? You know, this is the supernatural. And that's the way it is. And that's the truth of it. And that's what we're dealing with. And when we get into the supernatural, and one of the reasons, Michelle, that we as human beings have the capability to persevere in the face of these great challenges is because when we get in touch with our supernatural part, we become infinitely more powerful. Infinitely more powerful, and that's one of the reasons why not only can we will be able to survive these earth changes, but that's also the reason that we will be have the power, you know, to create the new world of light and spirit. So when we connect with that part of ourselves, we become very, very empowered beings indeed. Right. If enough of us become empowered with our spirituality, you know, our enemies in the old paradigm, and we do have them. There are some rather dark agendas going on in the old paradigm, you know, behind the scenes, but those enemies that we have in the old paradigm, they won't stand a chance against us if enough of us get reconnected with our spirituality and with our supernatural part. They will not stand a chance. There's no way that a band of spiritual warriors can be defeated. No way.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we need
not
to go
be
into.
Fighting,
that
we're not going to be fighting with guns and bombs, and we're not going to be killing anybody either. We're just going to be fighting with our energy, just putting it out there. We're not going to be fighting at all.
Yeah.
We're going to be putting it
out. Oh, I love that you're saying that. I love that. That's it. Connecting to that part of us. That's.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well,
I'll
say one last thing about this.
Yes.
This new. We are.
You got 60 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all this will take. The new paradigm lifestyle, Michelle, just to put it into a nutshell. It's all about learning how to live our life, how to experience our life with feelings of, and I've changed this a little bit, how to experience our life with feelings of peacefulness, joy, reverence, and gratitude. It always comes back to that. And if we, all of us, can get to the point where we live each and every moment of our lives with optimal feelings of peacefulness, joy, reverence, and gratitude, we'll be just fine. We'll be just fine.
Well, I know many of you will want to connect further with Jack Alice. You can go to jackalice.com, and that's JACKALLIS.com. And, of course, the name of the book is Infinity's Flower, The Shift of 2012, The Shift of Ages. And you can get more insight and information on his website as well. Thanks so much, Jack, for taking the time to be on Awakenings. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Michelle. I hope to come back sometime.
Yeah. Come back soon. We'll set it up.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. And all of you, thank you so much for being a part of Awakenings, participating and sharing your insight and information just by being here and your emails and such. It's really wonderful, as I said before, to connect with all of you. If you have guest suggestions or topics you would like covered or any feedback or suggestions, you can email at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. That's also the email for the newsletter. And for guest suggestions and such, that's awakeningsradioguests@gmail.com. That's awakeningsradioguests@gmail.com, and that'll go great right to Linda. And again, the newsletter, awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And I'd love to connect with you on Facebook, which is also Awakenings Radio, or Awakenings Tweet and Twitter. And again, thanks so much for being here and being a part of this converging flow. And until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and keep awake. As Jack Ellis said, you are your own thrust. We are our own thrust. We are our own thrust into change, spiritual growth, and evolution. Follow your divine tick and live magically and mystically.